Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit.
What happened? Something's not right, so let me see what happened.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. Many moons ago, as I watched our country fall apart, I couldn't believe it was happening. I mean, I hung around with heroes. I knew what real Americans were like. All of a sudden, they've all been supplanted by an organization that gives crutches to people who really don't need them. If you're crippled, they don't want to help you. But if you can stand on your own 2 feet, they want you on crutches. They want you to depend on them. You always have to look for them for help. Without them, you're nothing. And this is the new American philosophy. It's called get down and stay down. They broke the bottom rungs of the ladder so you can't climb to the top. And you don't know it. But I'll tell you what's coming true at this very moment that is very disheartening. And it's the first real signal that we're going to suffer an economic Pearl Harbor. The UN is discussing the fact that they want to move away from the dollar. They want an international monetary currency that is that breaks the dollar. So let me tell you something. When somebody robs your piggy bank, they intend to put you out of business. And that's what's happening. Now, I will tell you this. You have more enemies today than you've ever had. And you know what? You want to know why? Because you're weak. And the weaker you get, the more enemies you will have. I watched a documentary last night. It was put together by some brave people who rode with Green Berets in an outpost in Afghanistan. I don't know if you saw it or not. I think the outpost was named Cobra. And these guys were out on patrol. And these guys are the best that America has. There's nobody better. These are the spirit of America personified. They are out in the middle of nowhere, in God-forsaken land, soaked in IEDs, soaked in minefields. And they are trying to bring a ray of hope to tribesmen in Afghanistan. And when you see how these Afghanis live, you can't help but feel sorry for them. They are a race of people that is phenomenal. I mean, from nothing, from empty rocks, they hewn out a living. From caves, They actually live in caves and build more caves. And they're trying to survive. It would be like if they landed on the moon. And the one thing that bothers me about Afghanis is that Afghanis didn't board planes and come in on visas into the United States to kill Americans. There was not one Afghani in any of the hijacked planes that killed 3,000 Americans, including 200 unborn children who died with their mothers. I'll never let you forget that, because the unborn in this country is a threat to the Democratic Party. The absentee ballot is a threat to the Democratic Party. That's why they endorse legislation and call child murder settled law. The Chuck Schumers, I call him Heinrich Schumer. There's no difference between Chuck Schumer assigning partial birth abortion and voting to burn the flag legislation than a Heinrich Himmler of the Gestapo in Hitler's regime. The Democrats are party over country of people. And the Republicans are a sad substitute for politicians. Every time I see a Republican come to the podium to speak for the American people, I see a loser. I see an ineffective politician. When you see a Democrat come to the podium to speak, he is coming to hurt you. He is coming to destroy this country. He is party over country personified. If tomorrow Nancy Pelosi said, we're going to vote for rattlesnakes in the crib, the party would vote unanimously to put rattlesnakes in a crib. Because they are party over country people, and the people don't count. You look at any of the legislation, they vote as a block. And they are told when they join the party of death, if you go against us, we will destroy you. We don't want individuality. We want a conformity to the rules that we set. And we'll do it to you, and we'll do it to the American people. And they will take it and like it. And that's what you got in politics today. Every time I see a spokesman for the Republicans, I get sick. I see a naked man with no testicles. And that's what I see. And they're all waiting for Obama to fall on his ass so they can say, look, we're better. But that's not the way America was built. It is the way America will be destroyed. And the greatest threat that Americans have tonight is not Iranian nukes. It's the attack on the American dollar. And once the American dollar falls, so does the country. When you see your neighbor buying gold and cashing in his chips, you are witnessing the end of your country. We're going to be the first country that's self-destructed. A guy came in to see me today. He's an old-timer. He remembers when the country stood on its own 2 feet. He's in the marine business. And he says he just opened the box with a 25-horsepower Evinrude outboard motor from the factory. And the box says, parts assembled in China. When I was a kid, there were only two outboards in the United States. Three. There was Johnson, Evinrude, and Mercury. When I saw a Virginia Oysterman putting Honda motors or Kawasaki motors on their boats, I knew America was finished. I knew America was finished. How sad. And when I grew up as a kid, I was told by the generation that won World War II that the ocean, to fish in the ocean, was free. It was your entitlement as in America. You could go to the beach and you could cast your line and you didn't need a license. It was free. And on October the 1st of this year, the tax junkie government of the United States, those politicians who line their pockets while your children starve, passed a law that said in order to fish, you have to pay us $10. It's only a $10 fine, and you can pay $150 and get a lifetime fine, a lifetime of fishing permit. And it's only a $10 permit if you do it. It's not for a whole year. But for $150, you can get a lifetime permit. And a guy told me today, he bought the $150 one because he knows in a few years it's going to be $350. And you want to know something? They will come when it's $3,500. Because this government can't live without tax money. It has no creativity. It has no entrepreneurship. It doesn't know. They can go fight a war in Kuwait and not give the Kuwaitis the bill. That's what we do. And don't blame Bush. Blame the big P, politicians. How can a guy like Chuck Wrangle sit on the tax planning committee and pay no taxes and lie and cheat on his taxes, and he still gets... You know what Chuck Wrangle should do? Chuck Wrangle should be ambassador to Afghanistan. That's what he needs to do. He needs to sit up on the mountaintop where those Green Berets sit. And they visited, the scene that I seen in this documentary was they were in a village, they were helping the village people, they had doctors with them, they were treating the people, and one guy looked at the other guy and says, "It's getting dark, we better get out of here." And they headed back to the rest area for the night, and they got word on the way back that the rest area had been seeded with IEDs. So making their way back to the rest area, blowing up 7 IEDs. The convoy was in single file, and there was one truck with Afghani troops in it. And the convoy was making their way along the route, lights out, and the Afghani truck lit up the vehicle in front of it with their headlights. And a few minutes later, an IED took out one of the trucks in the convoy. And two Americans burned to death. And about 8 to 10 got injured. And my wife said to me, "It's not worth it to be there. Let's get out. This is ridiculous." And I said to myself, I agree. We don't belong there, but look what we're doing. Look what we're going to do. We're going to walk away from a people that can't defend itself. And isn't it the duty of the strong to protect the weak? Whether you're a doctor trying to save a fetus from being aborted by a madman, or you're a country watching another country be cut to pieces. And you know what? You know who took out it? You know who detonated that IED? It wasn't an Afghani. It was a jihadi from Yemen. And as the Americans were being burned alive in that truck, he was cursing them with a fervor you wouldn't believe. He was praying to God and cursing them. So what do? I turn on my TV today at lunchtime, and they're running a Homeland Security commercial, and they're saying, "Beware of people who are stalking you in the United States. Beware of people who are taking pictures of bridges, tunnels, buildings." And they profile these people, and guess what the people are? They're all white. There isn't one guy with a beard in the whole Homeland Security commercial. And I flash back to 9-1-1 when those buildings were coming down and you could hear in 1.5 minutes the screams of the entire world, some in pain and some in joy. And immediately the government rushed to calm the crowd. And they ran an I'm an American commercial. And they showed people of Arabian descent, dressed as postmen and cops and military, and saying, I'm an American. And that's how we've been force-fed to lose a war. They didn't show you a profile of an Arab terrorist. They didn't show you the pictures of the 19 Arab Muslim terrorists who took down three planes. They didn't flash their pictures on the screen. I said to my wife, this would be like watching the profile of a plane when kids were taught in World War II how to identify Japanese Zeros, and there'd be no red dots on the wing. That's what this is. It's propaganda. Absolute propaganda. We're being killed with our own sword. And this is just beginning. Obama's crowd hit the presidency running. They ran through more legislation than you can stick a shake at. And they wanted to make sure that the fix was in early, because they knew that once the public found out that this is a communist coup d'etat, that the people would oppose it. So they went for the throat of America immediately. And now we're going to suffer the consequences. And I'm telling you, the biggest problem we have tonight is the fate of the American dollar. There will be people in this country who will come to you now and tell you it's better we use European currency. And I'm going to tell you something. They have one goal in mind. You want to know what it is? It's to get God off the currency. And they will take anybody's money to achieve that goal. And it's time that we took the open hand and closed the fingers. It's time to make a fist and fight back. It is time to take care of America first, like Sarah Palin said. Her sign said America first. McCain's sign said America first. I'll take Sarah Palin for president over McCain. McCain is half a pacifist. He talks the talk, but he don't walk the walk anymore. And he lost in his tribe for the presidency. It's time to push him aside. And it's time to bring warrior blood to the forefront. We're going to need a Patton-like president. And we cannot, no way whatsoever, have one party in total control. And both of these parties are the same. You've got a communism light and communism heavy. You got a handful of blue dog Democrats who have to be Democrats in order to get elected. And you got a handful of Republicans who have to be Republicans in order to get elected. We have very few winners in the mix and no honest men. I watched a congressman go to Washington, and the first thing he did was he learned the ropes. And as a result of learning the ropes, he had a mistress in Washington who gave birth to a child, as did John Edwards, who was hiding under a car in a garage in a hotel. How's that? You want that man for president? He had to hide under a car in a garage in a hotel because the press was asking him, what did you do with your bippy last night? Where did you sink the last ship? Yeah. And you know what was said about the congressman that went to Washington and betrayed his wife, and I think he's got two daughters? What was said about that congressman is that his father paid off the other woman and carried her, paid her bills. Now, if you marry a woman and you take a vow in the Catholic Church to love, honor, and obey, and you betray that vow, that's the height of hypocrisy. That is the greatest wound you can inflict on a woman. But then to have your father-in-law not stand beside you for what is right and pay off the other woman, that's like a double dagger in the heart. And that woman, his wife, is left to raise two kids. And this guy is talking about reestablishing his credibility and running for office again. You know what Harry Truman said? If a man can't be faithful to his family, how can he be faithful to his country? And if we had listened to Harry Truman, President Pinocchio Pants never would have got that job. But you see, we're on the way down, and we don't care. We don't even clutch at straws anymore. We're jumping with the bungee cord, and we forgot to tie the ankles. Guy comes into my place of business today, and he's a driver. for a an auto parts store, and he's 68 years old. He's had two heart attacks, and he's got hip, and he's waiting for permission to have kidney stones removed, and his that are probably the size of jelly beans, and he can't pass them, and his cardiologist won't give him an okay because he's had two heart attacks, and he's afraid that if he goes under anesthesia, he may not come out. So here's this guy. He's in pain, and he's 68 years old, and he's a delivery boy. Okay. He's driving the vehicle, and he tells me that hip won't okay his kidney stone operation. So right away, I'm thinking, well, you see, here's an example of where insurance companies hurt you. And this shouldn't be. This guy shouldn't have this worry whatsoever. And not only that, he calls to get his test results, and they tell him he's got to go get the test results himself. It's like nobody wants to handle this guy. You know? And I know what's going to happen. You want me to tell you what's going to happen? The real top doctors in this country are going to turn around and they're going to say, you know what? We don't need the paperwork. We want cash. You go talk to your insurance company. You want my services? You come with euros, because I don't take dollars anymore. You wait and see. You wait and see. You know, you can only screw, like Abe Lincoln said, you can only screw some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time. And that's really sad. And at 68 years old, this guy's out doing deliveries. And, well, he didn't plan right. Yeah, well, let's see how good you plan when your broker tells you you're down another 50% in your 401k. On the next go around, and now you need to get, you got to get back 200% just to get back to where you were before. Because if you went down 50% in your 401k, you got to earn back 100% to get to 50. Yeah, how sad. And I'm at a doctor's office yesterday, and the woman sticks her head in the window to the girl that takes your appointment, and she says, does anybody here speak Russian? And I said to myself, you know what? One of the requirements for being an American citizen, when your feet hit American soil, and a guy says, do you speak English? And you say no problem. Your English classes start today. Go into room 23 and get your first English class. And that's it. In 6 months, you'll be speaking English. And that's what should be done. Yeah, if you can help people come into this country, you can help them to learn English. So hang in there a second. I'm going to play you a tune. I got hooked on this tune a couple of days ago because it's an old tune. It's called Cherokee People. And I got hooked on it because a GI was killed in, I think it was Iraq. It might have been Afghanistan. And he happened to be a Cherokee Indian. And he was coming home to be buried in his final resting place. And the people in this town, I think it was in the Carolinas, I might be wrong, but I think it was in the Carolinas. They lined the streets with American flags. And the Bank of America, local manager, took the flags down in front of the bank because he didn't want to show impartiality to Al-Qaeda. thought it wasn't fair that Al-Qaeda wasn't represented. So, oh, they found him with three fire arrows in his chest. Oh, from my lips to the devil's ears. But, so I looked for this song, a tribute to that one Cherokee warrior. And if you listen to the words of this song, it says, they took a whole Cherokee nation and put it on a reservation. And they taught English to our young. And they banned the tomahawk and the Bowie knife. And I said to myself, pretty soon America's going to be on a reservation. The fate of the Cherokee people will be ours, and the Cherokees once again. But this time the entire country will be the Cherokee people. And they banned the Bowie knife and the tomahawk, and they're trying to take your guns away. And because they don't want any opposition when they come to enslave you. You give up your gun, you've given up. You give up the Second Amendment, you've given up your life. And if you give up the First Amendment, and you let the English government keep one American from speaking his mind, we're back to 1776 all over again. Mike Savage has been railroaded by people here in league with the British government, and it's time that somebody stood up for Mike Savage as an American and got him his God-given American rights back, no matter what he says. So there's two parts of that song, and the third part of that song that bothers me is that he says, the singer in the song says, and the beads we made by hand, they now make them in Japan. And that's how we lost everything. We're all going to be on the reservation soon. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune. Did I tell you I bought a Saturn when Saturns first came out because I wanted to buy American? I got so tired of listening to people who thought they were buying American describe other cars like Honda, Toyota, Nissan, and they thought they were buying American. And this is before these fat manufacturers were making them here. So I bought a Saturn because it was made in Tennessee, and I wanted to keep my brother Americans employed, just like the boys in Michigan who had to push their toolboxes into their trucks the other day and say goodbye to a plant that they thought would be the plant that their children would work in one day and earn a good living. And now Saturn is no more. And all of these car dealers that closed, those 900 dealers that got whacked, nobody, not one entrepreneur said, come on guys, let's go build another car. We'll start with a base of 900 car dealers and we'll get back in this game. No, you want to know why? Because the others were getting government welfare. And so they decided it's better to go get government welfare. And we're all going to be on welfare lines soon. And you know what? The government's going to pay you with dollars. What's really funny is that the Chinese are sending us a cheap crap. And guess what? We're paying them with cheap crap. Yeah. And I think they're just getting wise to the scam. Yeah, come on. What do we owe you? A trillion? No problem. Get that machine going. Start printing. Yeah, give us the goods. We'll give you the crap goods. We'll give you the crap money. Yeah, God help us, man. We're going nowhere soon. We got no Moses leading us out to the promised land. We got Karl Marx leading us to the gulag, the international gulag. And in order to change things, we're going to have some radical surgery. And these schools are brainwashing your children. They're all communist cucumber schools. I don't trust any of them. Get your kids out. You know what you do? Turn to your local church and tell your local church you want a school. You want a high school. You want a university. And you want your kids there. You don't want them in communist cucumber school. Start building your own communities. Do not count on the government for anything. And stop paying them to hurt you. Dom, I'm not paying you any more to hurt you. If you're against abortion and they're opening abortion clinics, you withhold on your tax money, the child killing money. I'm not paying you to kill kids. I'm sorry, it's not part of my obligation as a taxpayer. I'm not paying you to kill kids. You want to legalize marijuana? I'm not paying you to turn this nation into a nation of junkies. Take that money off the bill. And you know what? Ask to see what they're buying and paying for. And you want to know something? You're going to have to learn three words. Cancel, veto, and no check. I heard Rush Limbaugh today. He's saying that the polls are all rigged by phony pollsters. And I said to myself, you know what? You want to see a poll? You know what you do? You have a conversation poll and ask yourself this one question. During the conversation poll that you heard that you held today, how many people said this country is finished? How many times do you hear people saying this country is finished? Why are they saying that? It's time to take that open hand and close the fingers and make a fist. It's time to take your country back. It's time to tell all these little foreign intruders and take a walk. And close the UN and turn it into a Carvel ice cream stand. And put some people back to work. We can't leave Afghanistan till we get bin Laden. If we can't, the greatest military power in the history of the world, according to Al Gore and Joe Lieberman, if we can't get bin Laden, when we're right down the street in Pakistan, and when he's right down the street in Pakistan, then there's something wrong. This country is ripe for losing a war. If we can't get bin Laden, we cannot leave until we get bin Laden. Bin Laden must die. He has to pay for 9-1-1. And when you hear people talking about getting rid of Karzai because he's corrupt, just remember, we're the ones who put Karzai in there. He was our pick of the litter. And we gave him no support. We left him there on his own. And if you're left alone in the Taliban land, you got to make deals to survive. And the one thing that Karzai is a survivor. And what are we going to do? We're going to DM him like we did to DM in Saigon. We're going to shoot him in the back of the head? Is that what we're going to do? And who's going to rise up to take his place? Karzai is our loser, and we've got to defend him. And you know what? He's smart enough. He's survived so far. He's doing better than anybody else that's been there. So help Karzai survive. Help Karzai to win. He wants Pakistan not infiltrated. I mean, he wants an Afghanistan not infiltrated by Pakistan. And the best thing we can do to help Karzai and the Afghan people is to get bin Laden. It is foreigners in Afghanistan who are killing, doing the real damage. Okay? Afghanis are warriors. They don't know anything better. They're tribal warriors, and they're going to work for somebody. And here's the question, the million-dollar question. What happened to the Northern Alliance that helped us win the war in the first place? All of a sudden, you don't hear them being talked about. You don't hear them being talked about at all. What happened to the Northern Alliance?
Hang in there, boys and girls. We got something coming up here.
So going back to that 68-year-old guy who died twice on the operating table, getting a bypass... Ron Emanuel's brother says, who now has power under the new Barack Obama, we're going to treat some. Yeah, we're going to treat one from many. Says that guy has outlived his usefulness to the crown, and it's better to concentrate on a 25-year-old. But the 25-year-old isn't on the operating table. It's going to be the 68-year-old. And it's the 68-year-old who needs a medical care in his golden years. It's not going to be the 25-year-old. If you took 1,000 25-year-olds and told them they all had to pay $10,000 a year for insurance, you know what they would tell you? I'll take my chances. And they would be the exact right actuary in that situation. So you got to take care of the old people. Hospitalization is for people who need hospitalization. And the law of averages says that the older you get, the more hospitalization you're going to need. So what's the big deal? So you extend this 68-year-old's life, you give him the best treatment in the world, and he dies remembering that he had the best treatment in the world. He had the best medical plan in the world. And what did you extend his life 2 years? So you look at the money that you're going to save on Social Security when he checks out at 70. Yeah, look at it that way. With Mom Emanuel's brother wants to kill him at 26. Yeah. You got too many bureaucrats running too many games, and the biggest game right now is taxation. And look under every rock, because there's going to be a tax to be collected. These people are taxing everything. I'm waiting for the fart tax. They're going to have little meters on your belt. Yeah, greenhouse gas. They're going to have a greenhouse gas tax for the individual. And all the business that they drove to China, all the American companies that they put out of business, all of the American people that they forced on unemployment lines, by fining the people that were paying their salaries and turning those very same people against the boss who was giving them a paycheck. All those industries are now in China, in the pollution continent, and the wind blows all around the world. So you haven't solved any problems whatsoever. But bureaucrats will kill three people to make one good example. Last night's show, I had a malfunction, and it was a pretty good show that I had put together, I thought. And there was one clip in the show that I thought was hilarious, and so I figured I'd play it again tonight and give you a little chuckle. So here it goes. To set it up, I was talking about Rush Limbaugh and why the left hates him. And I said that they hate him because he's worth $370 million. $70 million to promote that program. So you can see Rush is a good businessman. Maybe we should make Rush the Secretary of Treasury instead of tax boy. I don't pay no taxes. Yeah. He's going to be doing that commercial soon. Are you in trouble with the IRS? I'll show you how to get around it. Here's something to think about while we're running amok. 15 million people are unemployed. It's probably more, because there's probably people that gave up shaping up. My guess is it's 20 million. Guess what? Just think of New York State totally unemployed. Every man, woman, and child in New York State out of work. That's what you got right now. And these are the good times. And I'll tell you what worries me. I'm worrying if we're at a market high and we're not going to see this high again for 10 years. I'm worried that tomorrow this market is going to take a dive like you wouldn't believe. And then you're going to hear all the experts that told you everything was good tell them everything is bad. And, oh, yes, we all knew that Citibank was going under. We all knew that the banks would close for a week. Yes, we all knew that gold is $2,000 an ounce. We all saw it coming. Help! Help! I'm not getting a paycheck! Yeah, that's what's going to happen. We're all going to be up the creek without a paddle. And the Chinese won't sell you no more goods. You're going to have to make shoes yourself. In Gloversville, New York, everybody will be moving to Gloversville. Make gloves and shoes. And Amy's List, or whatever that commercial is that shows the plumber walking the dog. I was late for work and the plumber was in my house fixing the bathroom and he walked the dog. And now I don't have a plumber and I don't have a dog. But there's a broken leash. It's stuffed in the toilet. Yeah, give me a break. Or the one where she does, oh, that that Latino girl, she doesn't say Latino girl, but that Latino girl, she can really dust. She can really sweep. But, you know, I hate the music that she merengues to. Yeah. Well, wait till you're dusting and sweeping, honey. Wait till your husband wants to know how come you never learned to use the oven. Now you got to put your head in it. I won a trip to New York once. How's that, right? A big nationwide contest in the automotive industry. And there were five winners. A guy from Mississippi, a guy from California, a guy from Texas, a guy from Connecticut, and me. They all got airline tickets. They sent me a token. So we're at this dinner in this real fancy restaurant, and the sales manager from this company, who doesn't pay for anything, of course his company picks up the tab, was playing big shot. Him and his wife. And the first thing they did to impress everybody else how important they were is they crapped on the help. You know how that goes, right? They crapped on the help. You know, this wait was a little slow. And I just laughed. I just laughed to myself. I said, you know, this big sales manager making his big money, he doesn't earn half of what these waiters make. These waiters all have homes in Europe under Côte d'Azur. They only work in New York about 3 months out of the year. They make enough money, they go back and they lay nude on the beach. Yeah. Unbelievable. And this guy was playing big shot with his company's money. What a turkey, right? The world is full of turkeys. I was in Kuwait. I'm having dinner with a Kuwaiti. And all the help is Filipinos. Right after they threw the Palestinians out. There wasn't a Palestinian in Kuwait after 1993. They sided with Saddam, and so when the United States gave Kuwait its country back, which they already forgot. You know what the, what does that say? A friend in need is a friend indeed. But if you try to find him, you won't break his speed. Yeah. The Kuwaitis threw every Palestinian out of the country. I was in a checkpoint one night, and they dragged two Palestinians out of their car, towed their car away, took them right to the airport, threw them on the next plane back to Palestine. They seized all their assets. They took over all their jobs. And then they went out looking for replacement slaves. Because slavery today is $80 a month. You don't have to buy the slaves anymore. You can lease them. And they went to the Philippines. And they went and picked out the slaves that they were going to have back in Kuwait. And they accused me of sedition over there. I tried to tip a Pakistani cab driver. And they told me I was starting trouble. I'm from New York. Cabbies get tipped. What can I tell you? Unbelievable, right? And one guy said to me, I was in his house, and he goes, you know, it's customary in the Arab world, you take off your shoes before you come in the house. He says, it doesn't matter to me, but I thought you should know. I says, I appreciate that very much. I said, I don't take off my shoes to save you the bad odor. But I said, have you ever been to the United States? He says, no. I says, well, we have a custom too. Before you ring the bell, you have to take all your clothes off. And it doesn't matter to me if you do it or not, but other Americans will be offended if you don't stand naked at the door. Hang in there, and we'll talk some more. So I'm with this Kuwaiti. We're at the Meridian Hotel. We're on the top floor of the Meridian Hotel. They got a restaurant and a swimming pool. Very beautiful. The Arabs have some of the nicest hotels in the world. And it's taking us a long time to get waited on. And he's starting to get annoyed. I said, relax, take it easy, enjoy yourself. So finally, the waitress comes to take the order, and he starts to chew her out for taking so long. She's a Filipino girl. She needs the job. They hold your passport. Whoever you work for holds your passport. You can't just up and leave. You're a POW. And she wouldn't be the first Filipino to get raped in Kuwait by a father and a son. So, but they need the money. And $80 is a lot of money a month. Some of the Indians that are there, they work 10 years, they go home, they retire, they live like Rajas. $80 a month. They live on 20, they send 60 home. So, and Kuwaitis have they have a little checklist with a dollar figure next to it. Indians, $80 a month. Filipinos, $90 a month. Americans, Brits, they have it. Danes, they have a price for Danes. But anyway, and the lure of money brings a lot of suckerfish. So he starts chewing his girl out for taking so long. And she goes and she takes the order. And she brings us something to drink. And there's no alcohol in Kuwait. So what I used to do is they had a beverage that was, it came in a champagne bottle, but it was fruity. But it had oxygenated water in it, you know. They oxygenated it so it was like seltzer. And when they popped the cork, it would sound like a champagne bottle opening. And I used to order it deliberately because I used to like to watch the other Kuwaitis looking at me like I was getting real champagne. Yeah, they all drink in the house. Johnny Walker is a household name. And the Saudis have what's called Siddiqui. Siddiqui in Arabic means my friend. And that's moonshine. They have their own spills. And they got rehab units in Saudi Arabia too for drugs because the princes bring the cocaine in diplomatic pouches. So wherever there's money, there's drugs. If your kid's got an allowance, the dope dealer is already cutting himself in for the action. That's the sad part about drugs. It takes down the whole family. Anyway, so he gets infuriated, and I says, calm down, you're going to ruin your appetite. He demands to see the manager. The manager is also Filipino. The manager comes, goes, yes, sir. He demands that the waitress be fired. He doesn't complain about the waitress. He demands that she be fired. And the manager begs and kowtows and yes, sir. And all of a sudden, he's calmed down. I said, you know what? You're going to ruin your appetite. You're getting yourself all upset. Relax. Enjoy yourself. Here comes the salads. and he said to me, how come you're not eating your salad? I said, I used to work in a restaurant. And I know what happens to Kuwaitis who complain about the help. Yeah. So that's it, man. When I check into a hotel in Kuwait, there is a 60-pound Indian guy that wants to carry my 100-pound bag, and I say, I'll help you carry it, and I treat him like a king. I treat the help like kings. You know why? Because there could be a fire that night in that hotel, and I want him knocking on my door first. So hang in there, I'll give you a tune. pretty soon it's going to get very cold in Afghanistan. And on those cold nights, those GIs, that less than 1% of America who puts their lives on the line so you and I can complain about secondhand smoke, those young GIs, those away from home GIs, are going to be recalling the last image they saw when they left this country. And that was the image of the woman that they love, or the guy that they love. And so this song is dedicated to the guys on guard duty tonight. Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and .com. This is Uncle Tom in the bunker. I used to have a cabin. Our subject for this morning or this afternoon, depending on what time you're listening, is Where Did My Country Go? Like a child lost in the mall, I cried, Where Mommy Go? Now as a victim of Grey Poupon communism, I cry, Where Did My Country Go? The answer back is, get used to it. You are an obsolete American. You are not part of the new world disorder. Seven-headed beasts stalk the land, demanding a new international currency. After a failing in their coup d'etat against God, in whom we trust. Two generations of Irish Democrats were conservative.